they use honey as the sugar for the yeast. That's what defines it versus wine or beer or whatever.
I thought you can actually have mead be made out of other things as well.
You can add other things, but it needs to...
Is it specifically honey? I thought yes. It could be other things as well.
It's specifically honey. But you can do stuff like a lot of times, like they had a raspberry mead that was like 50% mead, 30% raspberry juice, and like 20%, I think it was grape juice that they had as the sugar base for the yeast, and that's where the flavoring and everything comes from. But by definition, mead is honey based. That's the core sugar source for the yeast. Whereas, you know, wine is grape based. Although then people are, oh, it's a blueberry wine. We use blueberries. Well, then it's not really a wine at that point, but yeah. Whatever.
Yeah, it shows here 12 to 18 pounds of grade A honey.
For
ingredients for making mead.
Yeah, but how much? Are you getting an ounce or a gallon?
I don't know.
For glass.
Yes. No, but hey. It's good.
Yes. Hey, welcome to Crippled System, episode 210.
Not a prime number.
Not a prime number.
Sure other people figured that out.
Yep.
Because there's a googly-gook in it.
This is...
Yeah. You can't have a prime number if a googly-gook, isn't it?
Wait, what?
Googly-googly-gook. Oh. It's a number.
What up, my glip-glops?
Yeah, glip-glops.
Oh, Jesus.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, I'm Andy.
I've been here in like 17. I've had a podcast. You're in the 300s, right? I missed like 54 episodes.
No.
Ditto.
You're like, we're going to talk about War Machine. I'm out for a while.
No, we talked about War Machine while you were on the podcast. And we haven't talked about it since because we haven't podcast since the 13th.
I missed like 7 or 8. I don't know, maybe I missed
it's only
one.
Like 3 weeks.
Yeah, we missed like 3 weeks because there was Gen Con. Then there was, I was sick.
And we missed Labor Day weekend.
And Labor Day weekend. Oh, damn. Yeah. We didn't miss it because it's going on right now.
We can.
I
got to
go. I gotta go. I'm out. See you guys next time. And you should end it.
Episode 211.
We're going to start 211 now?
Yeah, that was 210.
Okay.
Right. Here we go.
Are we
Grumble. Recommendations.
211 is exciting because I think it's prime.
I don't know.
I haven't done the math in my head yet. I'll work on it.
How was your weekend, Nathan? And hello, Nathan.
We should probably introduce ourselves. I'm Andy. I play sometimes Kator and sometimes Butchers.
I'm Nathan, and I currently don't play anything, but in theory, I play Minions and Convergence.
I play board games. I like board games.
Yeah. Board games are good. I'm excited because New Through the Ages is going to come out for phones and whatnot. Which will be exciting, because that's a good game, but it's a fiddly one to set up and play, and so it'll be nice to play on a whatchamajigger.
Yes.
And Ogre is coming to Steam. And I just backed a cooperative card game on Kickstarter.
You lost me.
What? You like cooperative games.
I was going to say how much I don't like card games. I've been playing a lot of Terraforming Mars, and there's a few cards in that game. But anyway...
No, this is like a nice little puzzle game, you know, like kind of Hanabi style, where it's just a quick little cooperative game. And
those games I'm not good at, so I don't like them.
Fair, but the point is, one of the stretch goals was that, according to the stretch goal, it said, as of unlocking the stretch goal, so in theory they should have done it by now, but the game was going to be playable on Tabletopia.
Ooh.
But I don't have Tabletopia, so.
Tabletopia is neat. I have the board game, there's another tabletop, something I have on Steam. It's really great. It's like Tabletopia is like sponsored stuff from companies, so it's more official.
Sure.
And the thing I have on Steam, which I cannot think of the name of, Tabletop Express or something, it's like 89% fan base. People actually have been adding games to it, but it's amazing. I play like Star Wars Destiny on it. I was thinking of doing some Terraforming Mars solo play on it instead of just being too lazy to set up my own board downstairs. Those apps that for the PC that run these board games are pretty cool.
My phone every once in a while tells me that Terra Mystica has upgraded itself, and I've never played Terra Mystica on my phone. But it keeps updating.
It's gray on the tablet. It's almost too busy for the phone.
Your use of the word almost is irrelevant.
Any of you guys play Race for the Galaxy? Or do you like Race for the Galaxy?
I have played the card game several times in the past, but only once every like 5 years I'll play a game of it. And I know it is a good game, although one of the expansions is apparently the most terrible thing ever and all copies of it should be burned. But it's a good game.
I've played it a couple times. You have to...
Any of you guys want it?
The cards aren't that intuitive. Yeah,
sure.
Any of you guys want it? I have a editorial copy from...
Editorial copy?
Not an editorial copy. Press copy. demo from copy? when I was at Gen Con. So if you guys want the code for it, I can give it to you.
It's not. Oh, I mean a digital version of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would want that.
Well, I'm much more interested in a digital version of it.
Too late. I called dibs.
Murder. Yeah, give it to that. Yeah,
murder. Fight. He said murder.
Fight.
I think it's Ancient Artifacts. That's the expansion that's terrible.
I think it's the full game. Everything. I don't think I'll ever
Trevor
play
Christensen
it.
Trevor Christensen plays it constantly. He says he'll play a game in 5 minutes.
It's not as intuitive as other games. Like the cards, I remember playing it. I remember it's not as intuitive as some card games.
If Terraforming Mars is readable by you, how can Through the Galaxy not be?
Everything in a Terraforming Mars card tells you what to do, and it's all colored. It has pictures of symbols, and then below it tells you exactly what it does. Whereas for the Galaxy, you have a card with symbols, and you have to check flowcharts on the side. It's not a bad game.
I think you underestimate the learning curve for the symbols in Terraforming Mars.
I have explained that thing has symbols out its ass. So many new people. I've actually played Terraforming Mars 5 times or 6 times in the last 2.5 weeks, and I've played a lot of new players, and I've only had to explain the game for 10 minutes to a lot of them.
Fair,
but
wrong.
That's not wrong.
I've never played Terraforming Mars,
and you never will. Dun dun dun.
I found out today I'm never invited over to replace somebody for a board game day.
You were not invited to war games.
I wasn't invited today either.
You were not around.
True. I would have declined, but...
I actually know where people are. Terraforming Mars had an expansion which gave two... All the expansion was new maps.
Wait, shut up. Announcements.
No, there's nothing. I like board games. That's an announcement.
Registration for the America's Team Championship is now open.
Oh my God, it's next year, isn't it?
Well, right away next year. It's 4 months from now.
Yeah, but no one's going to go to that.
That's true. Never mind. The ATC has been canceled for lack of interest.
Yep. That's what I read.
My hearts and dreams are crashed and shattered.
Consider I know that Madison's got two teams that's going to it for sure.
But just think already. If he's out running it, that's more free time.
That's true.
I'm not thinking.
Fuck it.
Are you running it? I thought Travis and you were running it. I thought Travis and another judge is running it.
Yeah, Travis and some other judge are running
Travis it. Travis is running it.
But the WITC went well, and I ran that all by my lonesome. Fuck all y'all. Anyway.
What?
That 3-player format's cool, but I don't want to get too far off that, because I just want to do the announcement real quick.
I helped with the WITC.
All right.
I helped remove John Damaris from the convention.
That is true. You helped run an Elks Lodge out of Kahlua.
I did. I introduced John Damaris to what blind Russians are, and then
he drank four of them, and then he took a nap in his car.
Correct.
But anyway, ATC registration is open. It's going to be next January 13th and 14th at the same site it was last year, and so go on there. And I'll just say I'm keeping this short to not bore people because I know nobody
cares.
We can
still talk about things and announcements. We're not talking about War Machine in general. We're talking about gaming stuff.
No, it's okay.
It's going to be
canceled from lack of interest, so it's okay.
I'm still going to talk about announcement shit.
The point is, registration currently is $100. It's looking to be we are quoting the same price it was last year,
but we're working on
stuff to lower the price.
Unless you're John Acker.
That's the same price it was last year.
Yeah, that's true.
He will pay the same price he played last year.
Yep, you're right.
There are two people. There's him, and I feel terrible because my brain is... Zach. From Milwaukee. Watson? I believe that's not Zach, right? Yeah.
What about him?
He and John Acker were major sponsors, and so they have free entry to all ATCs for the rest of their lives.
Oh, via the Kickstarter.
For the rest of their lives.
Until it's canceled due to lack of interest.
One of them, that's a very short notice.
Dun, dun, dun. But anyway, that's it. Registration is open. Oh, and I will say this. So we're still on the fence about doing a solo Masters because it had kind of low turnout last year.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's interest, we do want to run it. And a few people have asked us about it. So if you want a solo Masters, message us on the ATC Facebook so we can get a feel for how many people are interested, because if it hits 16 or more people, we will do a solo Masters. But if you say you're interested and then we open registration, then you don't sign up, we'll be really pissed, so don't do that.
We'll find
you. Is there possibility of other things going on?
Possibility, but that's the we are working on things to lower the price.
Yeah.
So I don't want to get too much into that until it's not just random guessing. But,
sure.
Yeah.
Guessing's fun.
That's it. See, that was my ATC announcement.
Yeah, but we still have to talk about that. I mean, I guess there's an event coming up for War Machine in Madison soon. I don't know when. Yeah, Rick's running it.
He ran one like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, he's running sometime in October.
Whatever.
Good job, Rick.
Yeah. October's a month away.
I know. I thought there was something. I thought there was something coming soon too here. I know War Machine Weekend is at the very beginning of November.
Yep.
So you should come to that. Come play some board games with Andy.
Play Mega Civilization.
Well, is anybody else here going to War Machine Weekend other than me?
I might.
I mean, just go hang out and play games.
People I know cancel that I normally would go. I mean, I go to hang out and play board games, which is what's fun, and eating the St. Louis barbecue.
Yeah.
But a few people that I know usually go aren't going, and my people are on vacation on something else, so I may not be. I'm questionable.
And St. Louis barbecue isn't worth the trip.
It is worth a trip.
You can get just as good at Famous Dave's.
In no way is that true.
The same stuff.
Oh, my God.
You can get the same type of anger.
Not Famous Dave's. Dickie's over on Greenway. Pretty much the same thing.
Wow. No. I'm like... Like when Papa Bear's was across the street from Misty Mountain.
Papa Bear's
was that good. Was good.
That was a sad Smoky, goddamn day.
Smoky John's, I think, on the north side is not too bad either. But like the smaller places are usually better than
barbecue is all the same.
No,
I just get my God. I get ribs at Applebee's. It tastes just like the one place down there. Sugar Smacks, is that what it's called? Slappy John's.
Sugar Smacks?
Sugar Ray Leonard? Sugar something.
Sugar Ray Leonard is a boxer.
I know, that's the joke. But the place down there in St. Louis, it was like sugar smacks, sugar loops, sugar chunks, sugar tits.
That's
not, sugar fire.
It's pretty close to that, because it is.
It's sugar fire?
Yeah,
I think it's got sugar there. Fire. See? Huzzah. Anyway, sugar fire is basically Famous Dave's. You get ribs at Applebee's, you get ribs at Sugar Fire, and it's, oh, look, they're falling off the bone and they have barbecue sauce on them. Can't tell the difference.
And then possibly we're trying to figure out some of the things with who's the boss.
Yeah, you want to know who wins season 4 of The Genius?
I rescind everything I said.
So December, who's the boss? We're not too sure on exactly what's happening then with that. Hopefully we'll have some announcements on that soon. Because we can't have it at Misty Mountain. Because Misty Mountain was sold.
Yeah.
So who knows?
Now it's owned by a different guy.
And you can say, hey, can we
rent? And that different guy has on a month-to-month rent and is trying to move the store to a different location. So I can't
run
reliably.
I'm bored. They have room for zero War Machine tables.
They have room for maybe 4 War Machine tables.
You're talking about the Merry Mayhem? Who's the boss?
It's just that, you know, well, you don't really call it Merry Mayhem.
Well, you
anymore,
don't, but the charity, who's the boss? I mean, do you want to discuss what the possible place was for that?
Well, I haven't heard anything. So somebody is talking with somebody now.
We have a lead on a place that is very big and very nice. And if you went to the WITC, it'll be very familiar.
Yep.
And they enjoy doing charity work. So.
Correct.
So. And they do have a branch here in Madison as well. So in theory, depending on how talks go,
we could see if it's L. If I don't have to travel, that would be best.
Right. But we'll see. Either way.
I heard you like that place and want to join a cult.
No, I want to get a discount and I'll join a cult if it gets me a discount.
I mean, that's fair. I mean, that should be a t-shirt. There's only 2 reasons to join a cult. Discounts and the horse. I mean, that's really the only...
They call them followers.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah. I always confuse that.
Side note, so
that
did
should
you
get a t-shirt though?
I'll join a cult if it gets me a discount. I'll join a cult. So did you get the rest of Genius season 4 off of that website I sent you?
Yes.
Did you see God of Music on there?
Yes. Is that the Sangman thing?
It is basically Spinal Tap, but about Sangman.
I was gonna download it. I thought it was about him. Yeah, I might download that if I'm afraid I'll like it too much.
All right.
I'm doing a lot of video games. I'm going to talk about XCOM 2.
Okay. Yeah. I've heard the XCOM 2 expansion is not as good as the XCOM 1 expansion.
Well, XCOM 2 came out...
The leaders aren't fair. They'll just come across and fuck you over in
you
2
are,
seconds. And...
Depending on when you said that statement, you were correct. XCOM 2 came out last year, middle of the year. Then there was 3 mini DLCs over the course of 6 months. The... Enemy Leader DLC was not well received. The enemy leaders were kind of imbalanced, and they weren't that fun.
Right.
So that was a poor DLC.
But this DLC has something that, I've heard people say is like the leaders, but worse. They're called like, they're like super.
This is like the leaders. I have not heard one person be unhappy with War of the Chosen.
This was on the internet. So
these are everyone I know that has played it, which involves four or five people over that have been playing it. It's War of the Chosen. A, it revamped. Like if you were gonna say, man, I missed playing XCOM 2, I should play it. You would want to play with this DLC, kind of like XCOM 1. You would only want to play Enemy Within. You wouldn't play Enemy Unknown because there's no reason to. Because it revamps the game.
I wouldn't know because I don't play XCOM games.
I know. Because you don't like it. XCOM is you're not a fan of XCOM.
Yeah, never.
I really don't think you guys are. Because you haven't. I mean, you could.
I only played XCOM for 20 years until like 2015. Then I stopped.
Yeah.
That was the date I stopped.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait, the graphics are good now. Fuck it.
Yeah. So XCOM 2, you play like 20 years after XCOM 1, and you play as if you play one of your save files that you gave up on because you did bad.
Right.
So the bad guys won. You play the resistance, and it's a fun mechanic. It's kind of more story driven because you're kind of freeing the world and all this fight up and all these different things happen. And War of the Chosen basically it revamps minor things in the rules and makes some of the missions a bit more interesting. It gives you three new hero classes that have very fun mechanics to level up. There's a lot more story mode missions, which is always more fun. I mean story. I mean you play XCOM for the tactical combat, and it's. A lot of games I try to play can't do tactical combat anywhere near as XCOM, and they just bore me. I mean, when it comes down to it, if you can't do close to XCOM tactical combat, I should just go play XCOM again. But now they've added more depth to the story, which is kind of fun. And then the Chosen are they do this thing where they kind of steal the Nemesis system a little bit, where they come and go and they kind of learn your habits, like Shadows of Mordor kind of game style things. And they aren't, they're nowhere, they're powerful, but they weren't as annoying as leaders. I don't, the leader DLC was just a bad DLC because you'd unlock these elite classes and it was just frustrating. But I fought like four or five Chosen and every battle was intense, but I was never like, this is stupid. Like every leader fight in XCOM 2 with that DLC was dumb. It was never enjoyable. It was 100% stupid. And this has just been really fun. In the game, they have like zombies in the game now. They have to attack both sides. And all of it, it's just, and the way they structure the missions.
And they have Rabbids now. They have Rabbids and Mario and Luigi.
I'm going to pick that game up, the Mario and Rabbid XCOM style game for the
Switch,
which has gotten good reviews as well.
Which that's something that's happened in your life since last time you were on the podcast.
Yeah, I got a Switch. And I just finished Zelda.
And you didn't break your Switch.
No, I did not break my Switch. I hate, and this is the truth of any game, I hate when you're going through a game, there's one temple or one place where one of the creatures just auto, if it hits you, your gimmick is you have to avoid the, you have to like sneak past certain things, but if they see you, they auto hit you and just auto kill you. Like, why aren't they the boss of the world? Because like Ganon can't do that to me. I can like take insane damage from Ganon and be like, okay, whatever,
eat but, like, a sandwich this, and then you're fine.
Yeah, one random like guard just hits me, and I would even like put like, I stacked so many defense abilities and it was just a gimmick of a one shot dead, and I was like, that's just dumb.
Why? Well, maybe he doesn't have the motivation to rule the world.
Yeah, that's what I always have to think is, you know, sometimes guys just don't have what it takes to, you know, go that extra step because like, they should.
This porch is mine. Nobody comes onto this porch. If you come onto this porch, you're dead.
Yeah.
This is my porch.
Basically is what it is. But Zelda was a fun game. But no, XCOM 2 is phenomenal. You guys should play it. Everyone should play it.
I don't know because XCOM 2 is on sale for like $20 on Steam, but on the PS4 it's still like $60, and that's really annoying that it's not on sale on both platforms.
Each system, because it's on the PS, and I think the War of the Chosen DLC is on PS4 as well. I'm not sure if it was released to everything. Like, I don't know.
It might be. Yeah, because it had like an Ultra Edition with all DLC, but that could have just been the other DLCs. Yeah. I don't know. I'd have to check. But I was gonna pick it up discounted.
Yeah.
But
you saw there's a lot more.
Travis is in chat. I just want to say, Travis, you know how. Because he said he's never played XCOM. What's that?
Oh yeah.
What's that shitty game?
Imagine
that's terrible?
War Machine Tactics.
Yeah, imagine War Machine Tactics, but good.
Yeah,
that's what XCOM is.
Yeah, I mean it is. That was the big.
That was what I mean. That's what caused them to change War Machine Tactics. Is
the new
XCOM
came out? Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Because I mean, Tactics actually would have been just awesome as a what is that stupid game that they made 5 million of them.
The run and slash game.
Like God of War style?
No, there's a Dynasty Warriors.
Dynasty Warriors.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Because that's how it originally was. It was, if you look on YouTube, you could probably find a trailer for it of War Machine Tactics as a Dynasty Warriors type game. And it looked much better than what the other tactics
for what it's
was.
Worth, I love the Dynasty Warriors games. Specifically, the Empire's sub set of games, because they have a little more tactical stuff. Yeah, that's the DLC's $40. But the point is, like, on Steam, the core game, the core game on Steam is on sale for like $20, so that you can get them both for like $60, which is fine. But they have not put the PS4 version on sale to coincide with the release of the expansion, like they did on the PC version.
Friday,
and my computer's garbage.
Jordan was starting XCOM 2, and he's like, He didn't like the leader DLC. He didn't play the DLCs, but he heard all the bad DLC stuff. Like, I'm not sure if I'm going to like The Chosen, because, you know, if it's like the DLC, it's, you know, it was overall not liked. But I'm going to give it a try. And I got up the next morning, and he didn't go to bed. So, I'm like, he enjoyed it a life. He played a lot of XCOM this weekend.
Jeremy would be on the podcast probably right now if he wasn't playing that right now.
Yeah, he's playing XCOM 2 right now.
Yeah.
Sure. As well.
I can go home and play the original XCOM 2, yeah. Terror from the Deep.
Yeah.
Me and Andy and Dan and
that was XCOM 3.
No, that was 2.
Was that 2?
Yeah, it was XCOM Enemy Unknown. Then there was XCOM Terror from the Deep. Then there was XCOM Apocalypse, which is like the RTS one.
Yeah.
And then there was Interceptor, which was in space.
Yeah.
Those are the 4 original XCOM
I remember
games.
Terror of the Deep being not good.
No. It's super, well, it,
was it good? Or was
it took the original game and just made it harder. Because what it did was, in the original game, like, if you shot an alien ship down over the ocean, it would just go away. And you're like, mm-hmm. Well, thank God I don't have to go salvage that fucking thing.
Send a team after it, yeah.
But Terror from the Deep, you could go underwater. And so you always had salvage operations, which means, you know, which is, on one hand, you get materials. On the other hand, when you're on your back legs and you're low on ammo, you're just happy to not even bother with a crash site. But the annoying thing about Terror from the Deep is that there were weapons that worked on land and weapons that worked underwater, and very few weapons worked both. So if you sent somebody like a terror site and they got out and they had like a harpoon gun because you last equipped them with underwater equipment, it really blew ass. Or if they go underwater and just have like rifles, it's like, sure, this shit don't work underwater.
They added a cool bond tactic in XCOM 2. So if certain people go on missions together, they get bonds together and you can like get extra bonuses and stuff.
Sure.
And they have a fun photo mode where they pose stupidly for the camera and you get like fun little just
strike pose.
It's pretty non.
So there's just like never been a bad XCOM game.
No.
That's good.
Yeah, like I said, the one DLC was questionable with the leaders. I mean, sure, it's a cool idea, but it's just the way they make. I'm glad they did that DLC to make The Chosen more enjoyable.
I think because I was in my things that bug you about games discussion thread, somebody mentioned the leaders, and somebody else said that there's actually in the settings you could change when they show up. Like, sure, there's one where they can just show up whenever the fuck they feel like it, and there's another where they only unlock when you do specific missions.
There's a certain A mission where if you play XCOM, that's what I did, is I basically never clicked a certain mission, so I never could fight. I just skipped the whole leader thing when I would replay the game. It was such
that doesn't after. Seem like it's a very good DLC if you're actively avoiding the DLC.
But then they came out with a robot DLC, which was amazing. So that was like the one great DLC.
Tinkling Koala mentions the FPS XCOM game as being a bad XCOM game, and I will mention that the FPS game never came out. That was XCOM Alliance, which was canceled. The new one, the one that came out after. That's right. What was that? The Bureau.
Yeah.
Right? That just came out after XCOM 1.
That was like a first-person shooter.
Yeah, that was an FPS one. Yeah, XCOM Alliance was going to be the 5th class. Yeah. Game and that got canceled. There was a top-down like Crash Bandicoot RTS. Style, not RTS. It was like an action platformer, but top-down, like MDK or Crash Bandicoot with guns. That technically took place in the XCOM universe. Yeah. That was kind of mediocre. That was on the PS1. But yeah, the Bureau. I heard good things about the Bureau. People were pissed when they announced XCOM was coming back, and it was coming back as an FPS. And there was like a violent uprising of classic fans.
That's how it seems like XCOM got built.
Right. And then so they canceled that. They designed this XCOM instead. And then that XCOM became the Bureau, which is a spinoff. But once you do that and you take away the anger of, you know, that's not how XCOM's supposed to be. Sure. I heard it's actually a decent FPS, but I never did get around to playing it, so I can't say with impunity.
There you go.
I have not either. I only played the first one. I never got the second one yet. I just didn't think my computer could handle it, so I just chose not to.
I know for a fact that my PlayStation 3 can't handle XCOM.
Yes,
that was the last game I bought for my PlayStation. I was so sad.
Yeah. It's unfortunate.
If the Bureau is a third-person cover shooter, then there has literally never been an FPS XCOM game. There's been a third-person cover shooter, and there's been a top-down third-person action platformer for the PlayStation.
And now you know. That's all I have. XCOM 2 good. We and Andy played Star Trek Ascendancy today with Dan and Jeremy.
Yeah, you guys had a lot to say about that.
Well, the game came out last year. The core box only had three factions. It had Klingons.
Probably Romulans
and Federation. Yeah.
And I played it right after Gen Con, but like any war game, three player, like 99% of war games, three players isn't a very good spot. We just played it to kind of learn the game. And we, at the time, we're like, well, this game has potential, but it's three players. So the way the game played was weird.
Three-player war games are always a tricky balancing act.
Correct. So I shelved it, and it was the expansions, the Ferengi and the Cardassians were supposed to come out like 2 months later. And
Cardassians?
Cardassians. They got
the Cardassians
yeah.
were.
They got, but for whatever reason, there was production problems, and they didn't come out till like Gen Con this year. So I picked them up, and we finally played a four-player game. And long story short, I think the game, the game is it's got some building the universe of the space is fun,
yep.
And I like a lot of the it's a fairly straightforward game. There's a bit of clunky rules here and there, and end of the day, I think I have better space games I'd rather play. Like I think Star Trek Fleet Captains it's similar, but like in this game, all your ships are generic. You just have like 30 or up to 30 30 ships, and you just have like one model. Where Star Trek Fleet Captain, you have 4 to 6 ships based on the point level you want to play, but each ship is its own. You can have like the Enterprise, you can have the Reliant, and then you actually build crews for each of them. So you can have Picard leading the Reliant, or you can have Kirk hanging out with Data. You can you customize your things and sure. You explore. There is combat in that game, but that game, the Fleet Commander seems to me a lot more like Firefly, where you do a lot less interaction with players, but you still can, but it's more about how you handle the universe and what you do to win the game that way.
Sure.
Where this game does push more towards combat. Like Ascendancy is more of a combat game than there is still exploring, there's random planets, and there's war, pre-warp technology, and it has all that kind of stuff. But,
I was for my experience from the game. I was more of a I was the person who had one of two people that have not played it before. Dan and myself, I think, didn't play it before, so I didn't know what to expect of how the game really works or the general mechanics of it. So I was just kind of gliding through it. Now that I know kind of like how the game's supposed to work, I would like to play it again.
Yeah.
Hopefully we can play it again.
It's a game that I would play again, but I would be like if I went somewhere and someone's like, let's play Circus Ascendancy, I'd be like, sure, play Circus Ascendancy. I wouldn't say no to playing the game, but if I had the 4 hours to bring out a space game, I'd probably want to play Forbidden Stars or StarCraft out of my collection.
Yeah.
But I mean, but if I went somewhere that had it, I would gladly play it and probably have fun. Hmm. But I love space combat games. And if I got them in the rotation, like if I had a more consistent group that played, like we try all the time to try to play games on Sundays or things like that. Like if I had a more consistent group, I'd throw it in the rotation. But I just have a harder time getting those 4 hour games in that I would rather play StarCraft or Forbidden Star, or even Fleet. And Fleet Commanders actually plays well with three players, which is fascinating because it's not combat focused; it's more explore focused.
Sure.
And science Klingons is the way to win.
Yeah, and that's it's you can do all sorts of goofy.
I just loved being the peacenik Klingons, and you, the aggressive Federation, attacking my poor science vessels.
Yeah,
jerk.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I think now that I have a grasp on how the game is actually supposed to be played, I think it would be a much more enjoyable experience the second time around.
You learned how to play it just in time to never play it again.
And I mean, it may come out again. And the thing is, like, a game like that, you definitely, there are, because the way you move and the way you can block lanes and how you like combat, a lot of the little finessings, like I didn't even realize, like when Andy had a very turtle format, and I didn't even realize until I did it how good my counterattack was. And then it just,
it was,
he brought out his scissors, I brought out 25 rocks. And just started pounding him, and I wasn't like I was being super clever. I thought it might help me get through his turtle, but it did.
I'll bet two chips on Brian Wynn.
Yeah, it was a good time.
No, like I said, now that I know how the game is supposed to work, it going through it at the very beginning, I just had no idea how it was.
If someone wants to play a Star Trek game and they want to be a bit more combat, like if Fleet Commander is a little bit more luck and a little bit more randomness and a little bit less interaction. If you want a heavy interaction space game and you want to stay in the Star Trek theme, I think this game is still worth it. But if you just want to play the concept of space and don't care about other things, I would probably
it could easily be reskinned to something else. Correct. It doesn't exactly feel Star Trek-y.
Yeah,
that much. Other than like some of the flavor things, like you know the Federation,
the deck of cards is pretty good because you know like I got fucked with Tribbles.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know the different technologies and stuff. But yeah, But it was interesting. And I threw money at the expansion because I wasn't 100% confident if I would like it or not. But I'm like I wanted to give the game the full benefit of the doubt and play it all the way through. And sometimes you play a game and it's not as what you hoped. But anyway, it still is funnish. I didn't hate it. That's all that matters.
Yep.
Now you know the rest of the story.
I should probably talk about some of the things I did at Gen Con, too.
What did you do at Gen Con?
I checked out Guild Ball for the first time.
You actually like Guild Ball. You sucked you in. You got Guild Ball then.
Somehow, that's the kind of the big thing. I ended up playing... Ben Lang finally ended up convincing me to play some Guild Ball with him, so I played some games. And
now he won't shut up about it.
It's amazing you go to Gen Con, you don't have a whole list of things to do, so you actually have free time to learn games and actually find things like.
What a concept.
Yeah. Well, I avoided Guild Ball for a long time just because it was another minis game, and I didn't want to play another minis game. And I also avoided it, too, because just about everybody out there who's salty about Privateer... was bad-mouthing Privateer and promoting Guild Ball. I know that they shut that down over at Steamforged for their pundits doing that, but
yeah.
It was a big turnoff for a long time to jump into that game. I did play probably...
You don't want to hear every other word. You know, you're trying to play a game and every word, well, see how this is better than War Machine? You see how this is better than War Machine? It's like, yeah, we get it. You don't like War Machine. You don't need to...
Yeah, I mean, we don't... And we try not to do that for other games, at least with our group.
Yeah. But they stopped doing that, and you actually had fun playing the game?
Unless you play Age of Sigmar, which is shit, and you're a big baby.
It's not so bad with the General's Compendium now. It's actually pretty solid with the General's one. Take a game that has a very loose concept of how you build armies, and actually you put a structure on how you actually build armies.
You saying when you add rules to a game, it becomes playable?
What?
Anyway, I was mostly just being... ironic.
I understand.
Okay. Because even with General's Companion, it's still a pile of shit, and anyone who plays it is a stupid idiot.
No.
Wow. Wow.
No.
At least I didn't say they were retarded, Brian.
Hey, we don't use the kind of language around here.
We don't.
So.
Fucking cunt.
Wow.
It's amazing how much of an immunity I've built up to that word. Because, like.
Which one? Cunt?
Yeah. Because, like, 6 years ago, I would shudder to the core to hear that word. Like, it really bothered me.
Desensitized.
Like, the C word and the N word were, like, the two. And all it is the goddamn Hound from Game of Thrones. Like, I just can't anymore. Like, it doesn't bug me anymore because he said it so much that it's just noise.
I just figured you got mad one day at someone and just you swore so much and you broke yourself through it.
No.
You got so angry that you just yelled it out at the top of your lungs, and then you're like, it like popped a vessel in your brain, and you're like,
vessels in my brain anymore. No, it's 100% trackable. I know it's 100% trackable to Game of Thrones, just specifically Game of Thrones. The Hound, because he just did say it constantly. Like, it can't bug me anymore.
But what
it's like now I'm an Australian where it's just every other word I say.
Didn't you watch The Wire too?
Yeah, bugged me there.
Okay,
and that didn't break it through.
That didn't break it through. The Wire didn't break it through. The other word.
Because The Wire, it was less casual. Like, they were still using it offensively.
Okay.
Whereas The Hound, it's just, you know, like, how's the weather doing? You know, it's just very casual.
It's very cunty out today.
Yeah. What's the weather like? Oh, it's all cunts. Whatever. Okay, sure. Like, and I imagine that's what Australians feel like, because they don't care about that word at all. That's their word for friend.
No. It was Jim Jefferies that had a big comedy skit where he was talking about the weight of the word cunt.
Probably. That sounds very
a Jefferies style thing. But I saw like an Australian thing where it says you call mates cunts and call cunts mate. And that's how you can tell whether an Australian likes you or not.
Sure.
Because they use those words incorrectly.
Sure, sure. Yeah, the one game that actually stood out the most to me out of all the games was Firefly Adventures, another game by Gale Force 9. That seems to be kind of like a similar to Imperial Assault. I don't know.
That's so bad?
No.
Oh.
People like, well, yeah, I mean.
But I mean, understanding of Imperial Assault is you kind of build a team. You build a team and then you just fight each other. But well, this is really more.
There's two modes in Imperial Assault. There's a cooperative and then there's a versus.
Oh, okay. Because the co-op one, Imperial Assault, the way it works is you enjoy it until the Overlord figures out how to abuse the fatigue system and then you sell it.
I have not played Imperial Assault, so I don't know how this game is.
You're right. There is just a pure battles mode where you build a crew and they build a crew and you fight. That's what it's called. They added that mode specifically. So they could make, they didn't have the rights to do something for Star Wars, so they added that version mode to try to get around it, and they got sued and lost. They lost a lot of money off that, because they did something in the wrong
there. They had the rights to make the co-op version.
They had the rights
which
to
was
do,
Star Wars.
They had the right to do one version of that, but they couldn't do, I forget what, I mean, now they're making mini Star Wars things. At the time they had, there was some weird thing.
Well, it just seems like once they're allowed to release Imperial Assault.
Well, there's all sorts, certain people are like, you can't, like, EA does the video games. No one else can make a video game for them, even a mobile. Like, there's different things, and they did something where it crossed over a threshold.
Sure, and I believe you. It's just weird to me that they were allowed to make a game, but not a specific type of game.
Yeah.
That just seems weirdly specific.
And I could have some information wrong, but I read that a couple places, different places, and they all could have been like lying to me.
So with Firefly Adventures, though, it was just literally it was a co-op, and we were playing against...
What it was. Sorry. Hasbro makes their board. Now that's no longer true anymore, but yeah, there's a chat. And chat, they're clarifying.
Board game versus miniature game.
Yeah, there is a board game. But since then, Fantasy Flight has gotten all those rights. Touching things. I like to touch things. Sorry.
I want to give you something else, and I can't, because then
no,
you're just going
to
destroy it.
Don't give him my Domo. I had to take Domo home and give him eye surgery.
Sure.
What? He was fine.
Gouging into his retinas.
With Firefly Adventures,
that's how I show love.
That was a co-op game, so everybody played like a certain character. And then the mission that we went into, which was just we had to go and disable some kind of bomb or something like that. It played fairly well. I liked all the characters. I was playing Kaylee.
That's cool.
Distracting guards, and then Mal fucked everything up.
Did you hang out with the Ackers at all? Have you seen them?
I saw them, and that was about it. I saw Kerr and Amanda, and that was about it.
I know John did like his Saturday was like all demo days. He did like a dozen and a half, two dozen demos.
Glanced at a few other games. Fallout, the Wasteland Warfare.
There's two. Yeah, there was that one was the mini game version, and there was a board game version.
Yeah, I looked at the mini game version. Really nice looking models. We posted a bunch on Crippled System Facebook. The combat looks interesting. I don't know specifically if it's supposed to be, you know, you build a force, I build a force, we fight. One of the demos I was looking at, it seemed to have a random encounter occur.
Yeah.
Where it looked like you build a force, I build a force, and the random encounter occurred where a Deathclaw attacked one person's side. which I if it's just a scenario type game, that's fine. That makes sense.
Yeah.
That sucks for the person that had the Deathclaw just suddenly appear in their backside. But I mean, it looks cool. You know, the folks that were demoing it. I didn't actually fully demo it. I just
John
kind of
did
observed.
Say John liked both Fallout games, so I don't know to what extent he did them, but he said the mechanics were fun on both.
Yeah,
that's cool. So, and he wouldn't. I mean, if it was really in balance, he wouldn't have. He would have been annoyed by that. So,
yeah. Otherwise, I mean, I just did a lot of wandering around Gen Con. It was pretty neat this time of year. I did not. I kind of fell back into. Or I just hung around the Privateer Press guys for a long time too.
Sure.
So I was like, "By
you play the Travis."
Yeah, I was kind of yes.
I mean, we always used the Privateer Press area we went as a nice meeting ground. Like everyone meet at the Privateer Press area. It was just a nice, simple way because everyone knew someone. Like, you could wait for someone else and know someone there to chat with while you were waiting. So it was a nice, friendly, like meetup place.
Hartford shaved his beard off, and I'm so glad.
That's fine.
He wasn't fit. No, yeah, he And that little freaking like, I mean, that'll grow back. Hairs.
Like, it would be more shocking if I shaved my beard. If I shaved my beard, nobody would know who I am.
Your beard doesn't look as terrible as his did, is my point. Mm. He looks better shaven.
Sure. Sure.
He looked better fat.
Mine should look better.
He should be fat and shaven.
Yeah.
A big baby face.
Yeah.
I did check out Company of Iron. I talked to some of the designers for that. Looks like that there's going to be some extra rules included later on to help ease some of my concerns that I've brought up before about it, about no progression.
Sure, sure.
Of some sort.
And so that makes sense as a kind of thing to do later on. You know what I mean? They want it to be simple for new players at the beginning and then add that on.
That was sure. That was the big reason that they gave, is they said that they didn't want the game to be overburdened with a ton of new rules, because they're already changing how the game core mechanics work for Company of Iron. I really hope it's not 6 months to a year before progression comes out. I'm hoping that it's released either progressively through the No Quarter Prime, or, you know, I just hope it's not too long.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, that's a good concern.
Oh, did I miss my window to order to subscribe and get a sexy octopus?
No, I think it's September.
Okay.
I think we still have a couple weeks left. I really want it. I don't want it.
I'm a whore for unique models, so.
The new Feral Geist looks neat.
I don't know anything about any of them.
It's a Feral Geist that looks like a ghost.
What? It's like a spooky Scooby-Doo sheet ghost? Because that'd be great.
Kind of, yeah.
Okay, I'm in.
That's almost exactly what it is. It's not anything like totally different. That's when I saw that it was like an exclusive model for it. I'm like, oh, so okay.
Also, side note, I'm sure the Fallout game is going to be terrible.
The Fallout game?
Yeah.
Which one, the board game or the mini game?
The whichever.
The mini game? No. The
board game. I don't know. Yeah.
Fantasy Flight's doing the board game, and John said, I don't know.
It's going to be unbalanced garbage, and it's going to be fun to play because it has the sheen of Fallout, but behind it, when you look at the mechanics, it'll be terrible, just like Dark Souls.
Dark Souls is actually a really fun game
to play. Yeah, if you want to play for literally 12 hours.
I can't tell if you're quoting someone or being serious right now. I feel like you're quoting an internet statement to rile someone, but I feel like I'm missing part of the detail, so I can't tell.
Dark Souls is okay, but we played it, and it took us like 4 hours to get to the third of the waypoint, and then we just stopped playing.
Sure.
Like, that's our first sign of a good game.
Well, then that's, I said, I wasn't sure if you were, the way you said it, I couldn't.
It's a little of both.
Yeah, all right, that's fine. But that's, I mean, I haven't played it since then.
Yeah, and I don't think I ever will.
Yeah.
So that's my point.
Yeah. But I don't get why you think, the Fallout board game is made by Fantasy Flight.
It might be okay.
I think the miniature game is going to be fine, but
it's
really...
I guess you just had no reason to say, I don't know, you had no logic to why it would be bad.
Because, I don't know. I'm not hopeful.
All right. I'll ignore all the positive things from the
Please
the
do. Please do.
Right. I was like, I read all these really great things about the games, but Nathan has this gut feeling it's going to be bad for Noah, he can't back it up for any reason, so I'm not going to buy it now.
There you go. Thank you. See, exactly. Perfect. I'm glad that my gut feeling is more important than actual feedback, because yeah. It is to me.
Depends on the person's feedback. I John won't hear this, but I have a pretty good respect for his opinions on games when he demos them, but I won't tell that to his face. So he won't hear it because he doesn't listen to this podcast.
By the way, I wasn't...
I don't like to compliment my friends is what I'm saying. And then let them know about it.
I was looking at the FAQ for the Gloomhaven character that I unlocked. Just because I wanted to get an idea of... I don't want the next time we play the first 45 minutes to be me deciding what deck I'm going to build. Sure. So I wanted like a little guide. And somebody pointed out that like my character can summon like 5 things.
Yeah.
And they all count as allies. So if John does a bless all allies action, I get to add 5 blessed cards to my deck.
We run out.
We would stop paying to bless.
Yeah.
So one other game, at least I walked past, there was the new mini game for Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
And that looked like it was just like a reskin of the
Rune Wars
game. And I've watched a demo game. I have not played it. I was not too impressed with Rune Wars.
The challenge of me for the Game of Thrones game is that at least with Ruin Wars, you have like monsters and you have things. You have a lot of variety of things on the board.
Correct. Yeah.
And it's just a few dudes versus if you have like your spearman and your horseman and a swordsman, and that's all you get for Game of Thrones.
There's the Starks always have momentum. And the Starks fucks always have
momentum, which is a good joke for someone who got it.
For the two of us.
And someone out there is like, I know what that motherfucker's talking about. I played that game too. But,
I don't know.
Yeah, the miniature. I mean, it looked okay. Like it didn't pop. Even with all the bonus stuff in the sidetrack, and it just didn't. It didn't pull me in.
I guess there was like some kind of new Star Wars miniature game that popped.
That
up.
got a lot of
reviews on it. And unfortunately, I really honestly avoided all of Fantasy Flight at Gen Con.
It's a weird mix. So it's Star Wars mini. So it's not like Rune Wars where there's trays and you have things, but you still use like, but you move figures around, but you still don't measure with a tape measure. You still use their widgets.
Oh, okay.
But it's still free form. So one model can go here and you don't have to like wheel or turn. You just go X amount of distance. It's almost a combination of Star Wars Armada and Rune Wars from what I understand.
I'm not
going to get into it regardless of what it is. Not because I'm
the Star Wars minis game. I know that there's talk that that's supposed to be the next big thing to come out. But.
Oh, it'll probably be a big, cool game. And if
because it says Star Wars.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't matter. And that's the thing that's fucking hilarious is when whoever it was, probably Bell Lost Souls or whatever, released the highest selling minis games of the last year. Mm-hmm. And everybody saw it was like Star Wars X-Wing. Mm-hmm. It was X-Wing and then 40K or whatever and then War Machine. And it was like, War Machine's third place and shit. It's over. It's done. Privateer's garbage. Their game's garbage. You know, Kingdom, Sky is Falling. It's like, it's fucking Star Wars, dude. Of course it's going to get number one.
And Hordes is not included.
If War Machine and Hordes sales were counted as one thing, it might have been second place above 40K. But who knows? But even that aside, people are like, it's losing to a crappy crap. It's like, no, it's losing to something that says Star Wars in giant fucking letters and costs $10 and you can get it at Toys R Us and Barnes & Noble's. Of course it's losing to that shit.
Even 40K is sold at Toys R Us and Barnes & Noble's now too. Some of the new paint sets are coming out for that.
People that look for signs that the end is happening and every ridiculous little thing drive me nuts.
Now, hey, I don't Tom Gwan, one specific guy, stop playing the game. Surely it's dead.
Yeah, because he decided
he decided
to go make a bunch of money in another game.
There is a guy, when he's like, hey, I'm selling my stuff, I'm not playing anymore, have a good one, guys. There was some dude who was so obsessed with that he quoted that Tom Gwan, he shared it to every one of the faction groups.
Yeah.
Like, dude, calm down.
he's like Paul Revere spreading the news.
Man, Tom Gwan's leaving the game. Bling, 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 bling. Who cares?
Yeah, or some people posting... Some people posting pictures in specific forums that Privateer isn't at that convention that they're at right now.
Yeah.
Well, meanwhile, that they are currently at Nova, which is a place where they can actually sell material.
No, they're not at this random convention where I was, so they're dead.
And run actual events there in a reasonable space as compared to being at PAX right now, which is just packed with, like, literally... Every other
PAX
video game.
PAX is doing a board game con next year, which is kind of tempting. But
this year. It's happening next month.
It's like Pittsburgh or something.
Yeah. PAX Unplugged.
Yeah.
Which that's an amazing way to get people that are normally into video games into board games.
Yeah, I was tempted by that. But next year, I'm 98.1% sure I'm going to Origins. Speaking of board game cons.
Gornus 78 wanted to see the ghost mini for the Feral Geist. I will clarify that it is concept art.
It's concept art, but I'll share it on the Crippled System page.
It's basically the Feral Geist coming out of a tombstone, and he's wearing like a spooky ghost cloak.
It's the Geist of Christmas Future.
Okay, but it's like it looks like a freaking Dementor or a Ringwraith because it's got the black cloak on it, but then it's got a Feral Geist face sticking out.
Yeah, I'll post it on Crippled System. You should be able to see it like right now.
You mentioned Gale Force 9 made that one Firefly game. They also have they have a Doctor Who game out that I haven't picked up yet. It hasn't been sold locally, but I'm tempted by.
I like
most of Gale Force 9 stuff quite a bit. When I go to Gen Con, their booth is the booth I go to first.
It's hilarious how they went just from bits and widgets to all of a sudden being almost 100% reliable to make good games.
The Ascendancy game is questionable, but I know some people like it. And we played the one game, Tyrants of the Underdark. We found the one broken combo.
Yeah.
But I know there's more decks, and if you don't combine those two decks, I don't think it's as bad, but
it's just the one deck combination we did was absurd. Yeah.
And also you were able to get certain cards. I mean, maybe they do drafts, we play more that we style. Like it's a deck building game where if you get the right combo, it's unstoppable. And maybe that just means when you play the game, you just other people just can't
You have to hate draft, yeah.
But it exists and it's pretty ridiculous. But anyway, that's just but I just want to say Gale Force 9 is cool. Even if I don't think Ascendancy is the best thing ever. It's just,
Yeah, I am excited to get Firefly Adventures. If anybody in our group is going to pick it up besides Jeremy, I will pick that up for our group.
So I don't think I don't plan on picking it up personally, but not because I don't want to. I already have Firefly the board game. I have my $5 million investment.
I've given up to try to collect Firefly the board game. If there's another garage sale at Pegasus, I should probably sell it.
They did yesterday.
I know. That's what I'm saying in the future. Because I can't match Brian's. Brian's already got like the 6-foot map. He has every expansion, everything sleeved, and everything perfect.
And Firefly, honestly, to me, without the expansion, every expansion you have under all reduces the quality of the game by like 10%.
Yeah.
Like the game needs all that stuff to make it more interesting and variety and. And even the Aim and Misbehave deck gets doubled when you buy a certain expansion. That's a critical update in that game. What did you do this weekend, Nathan? Where did you go and what happened to you?
I went to the Renaissance Festival.
In?
Minnesota.
This is a good one. I mean, it's a good one. The one in Illinois is not bad, but it's not the good one.
It was fun. Drank some mead.
Did you have meat on a stick?
Mead on a stick?
Meat.
Yeah. Yeah, we had some bacon, turkey drumstick, deep fried avocados, which is nice. It was okay. The deep fried green beans were better.
Damn it, Brian! You keep on touching
here. Look at this.
That's okay, have Nathan's fun with phone. That. You can play with my phone. Okay, maybe not the eating of the phone, but
I keep pressing this refresh button. What happens?
Well, it refreshes. It's just that there's nothing new to refresh.
Everyone in my guild is waiting for this bar to hit here. Like this is I'm showing a visual aid to the podcasters.
Yeah, when that bar hits there,
this phase we can all kill real easily. This phase is hard. So as soon as it hits there, like a bunch of us are going to attack it. We're all waiting for someone to think. But we're playing chicken right now with everyone.
For somebody else to get to
get that part done.
Anyway, Renaissance Festival's fun. It's a good time.
Did you? Yeah. Did you go? Would you go? How many times you sit and watch various shows?
This time we didn't at all. We didn't stop and watch a show. Last year we watched every show, and it was pretty much all the same people, so we had seen their shows. This year the only show we sat and watched is we went to a mead tasting where we sat down and had like 5 different meads, and there were a bunch of performers came out, so it's like a variety show.
I have nothing against your story, but for some reason, if I hear that word 5 more times today, I'm going to stab somebody. I don't know what it is with that word. It aggravates me. There's no reason for it, but for whatever reason, it makes me think that it's not meat, and I get sad and angry.
Well, we ate meat also.
All right, it's fine. You have to counterbalance meat with meat and cancel.
Meat and mead go together well and make a good meal.
All right,
That could be a t-shirt too.
Yeah. Meat plus meat equals
you
meal.
Mentioned. So one thing I said about Renaissance Fair is they plan them. So there's never really more than one Ren Fair going on in the country at a time. Typically the one in the Minnesota and in Wisconsin don't overlap. They overlap a couple months, but a lot of it's different. Like,
where's the one in Bristol?
Bristol is.
Yeah. That they, it's those, in Bristol. Those, the one in Bristol's in Bristol.
Where is Bristol?
Wisconsin. Southern Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Okay.
Those two overlap a little bit, but not even all of it. And also, like there's different parts of the country having it. I've seen certain performers at different ones throughout the country. A lot of them is travel. They plot out their like 6 rent fairs.
Yeah.
I saw someone in Arizona in like 97, and I went to last year to the rent fair. And it was the same people doing the same act.
Yep.
It was the same routine. I was like, man, I don't know. Are they enjoying themselves if it's 13 years of the exact same act?
They might. And then there's like the kind of like it's not a full Renaissance festival, but you can get kind of the same feeling down in Schaumburg. We have a Medieval Times,
yeah,
which is just the jousting tournament.
Never been to Medieval Times.
Well, here's what we should go. This is what I did. I went there last year. The Shaves owed me a dinner, and I'm like, where can we go? They go, well, you know what? You pick. We don't really care. I'm like, Medieval Times. They're like, God damn it.
Do you still have tomorrow off because we were supposed to go out of town?
Well, it's the 4th. It's Labor Day, so we all have it off.
Oh, that's true.
I can't go.
What?
I'm visiting Chris.
You got to reach your reservations. You can't just show up at a Medieval Times.
Sure you can.
I mean, you call ahead. There's probably a thing, but you should get reservations.
You can probably get reservations right now through the power of the internet. But that's fine.
The problem with going in tomorrow is they only serve at night, and then you get back super late. Like, you really want to have the next day off.
I close on Tuesday, so it's okay.
Well, some of us have to be at work at 6.
That's a mistake you made.
Yeah, I made a lot of mistakes.
Losers.
Medieval Times, it is something we should plan and do. It is fun. It is not quite worth the price.
We have to be in the Green Knight section.
Yeah, well, you don't get to use it. It's random.
We could. We should definitely, if we do that, we have to record it.
I think that's illegal.
Yeah, you can't. You can't record.
You don't get to record it.
We can't record our adventure.
No.
You can record going there and coming back, but once you're in there watching it, it's like going to see a movie. You don't get to record the movie.
No, we could just record our reactions to it.
You're just like in selfie mode.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I don't know. That was weird. You made it weird.
No, I didn't make it weird.
You made this weird, Andy.
I didn't make weird this weird. Now. No, this is perfectly fine.
Why'd you put your finger there? Now it's weird.
No. Now it smells.
There's no Rick and Morty tonight.
I know. That makes me sad.
Is there John Oliver tonight?
No, he's not back for a few weeks.
I really enjoyed last week. All of this season of Rick and Morty has been solid. Some people have been complaining that it's too much like talking about people's emotions and feelings and stuff. And to those people, I say, and?
I will say...
Those people are afraid of their emotions.
Yeah. The last episode with the split...
was amazing?
Was really good.
Yeah.
I really liked that episode. There was one this...
Which the Mad Max season? One is probably the weakest one, I think, but I still enjoyed it. I love that he destroys a civilization by introducing suburbia to it. And then just be a dick, he steals the rock on his way out.
Correct, yeah.
It's whatever. And Armathy?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the weakest of them, but it's still better than most things on TV.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, generally, yeah.
Hopefully this year they won't have another fucking intergalactic cable.
They're going to do every year.
The first one was amazing. The second one was the worst episode of the show so far.
It had a few moments, but overall. It had a
few moments, but... I like Jan Michael Vincent, District 16, and
It was no Total Recall, and that's probably... That's up there in the running for me for the best episode. Meeseeks and Destroy is really good.
There, obviously, my actual Dark Horse favorite that I go over Meeseeks and Destroy is The Ricks Must Be Crazy, which is the Teenyverse and Keep Summer Safe.
Oh, yeah.
And those are two amazing plot lines.
Yeah. Well, definitely plot B is actually much better than plot A.
They're both amazing, though.
I really like Keep Summer Safe more than...
Keep Summer Safe is the best B plot.
With the goofy spider aliens and such, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Keep Summer Safe is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
God, the ghost baby.
Oh, God.
To clarify, I could kill them all. That's what you sound like.
I just like the whole house being infected by the parasites.
Sure. Total Recall is good. Sleepy Gary's great, you know. They're filming the new Star Wars movie just around the bend in the river. Maybe we can see Chewbacca. Next week is the Intergalactic Cable episode. I think I just won't watch it. I guess Intergalactic Cable episodes have a 50% success rate. Well, so maybe if this one's good, it'll be 60%.
So you just don't know. I mean, it's the most...
What is it? I feel like the second one... And they even... When they intro the second one, a character in the show is like, what are you doing? And Rick in the show says, I don't know. It was perfect the first time. We shouldn't be doing this again.
Yeah.
And it's a joke, but it was true.
Yeah.
And when you go back to the well too many times, there's nothing left in the well.
Maybe they just haven't dug the well deep enough, and they only just skimmed the top part of it.
Yeah.
I don't hold the show to... I enjoy the show, but it's... Like, I don't...
You don't have to overanalyze everything.
Well, I don't plan to overanalyze. I'm just saying that the second Intergalactic Cable just wasn't funny. I'm not like saying like deep philosophical levels. It was just I watched and I'm like, well, that's just not funny.
Well, maybe you should be more deeply philosophical.
Yeah, sure. You just didn't get it, man. You don't get
you don't get it.
Yeah, the time when the guy's like, I'm Mr. Octopus Man and I'm gonna stab somebody, and then that was literally the entire sketch.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's not even a joke there.
No, that's the octopus that stabs people.
Yeah,
that's funny. Mm-hmm.
It's an octopus. He stabs people.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think it's hilarious.
How do you not get this?
It wasn't an octopus. It was Mr. Octopus Man, and he had like a half octopus face.
Yeah,
because that's how they drew it.
Yeah, and he stabs people.
Like Roiland's earlier stuff, like the Unbelievable Tales and Doc and Marty. Like, man, that shit is just garbage. And so sometimes when he gets drunk and goes to the neglected cable, it's just going back to that. It's like, oh, I raped a 10-year-old, isn't that funny? No,
depends on the 10-year-old.
Like, context is important.
It is no coach for Otto,
right? Am I the asshole for thinking that's a dumb name? See, that's funny.
So we should probably get maybe into recommendations. I wanted to keep the thing here short.
It is short.
We don't really have much more.
Jack, did you even tweet a Zappity Grumble?
Hmm?
You didn't even tweet a Zappity Grumble.
I did. We have Zappity Grumbles.
Yeah, you can check those.
But I forgot to mention. My original theory where I thought that Gen Con was actually smaller, that's not true. They did post the press release of how many people actually showed up. It was like 70,000.
Yeah.
So they had a lot of people at Gen Con this year.
Did you see the one person who dressed up?
I did see some people that dressed up. I saw somebody dressed up as Paul Bearer, and it was amazing. And then
that was a good picture.
I took a picture of Paul Bearer and what looked like DJ Squalls from Z Nation and
other
things. He dressed as Spider-Man. The kid, he looks just like DJ Squalls.
Sure.
It could have been him, and I could have just been, you know. But I was more awestruck at the Paul Bearer, so.
Obviously, Paul Bearer.
Yeah,
good stuff.
It was Paul Bearer. It was an amazing thing.
No. Yeah.
It could have been. He faked his death like Tupac. He did not
fake his death.
That's like Tupac.
No.
Tupac faked his death.
Random note. I haven't seen a movie like in 4 weeks.
I have not either.
Me neither.
So
is it out now or is that this coming weekend? This coming weekend. Okay.
I cannot get Katie to convince Jeremy to go.
Raylene will want to go. I have no interest in it at all, but we'll go together.
I'm intrigued with it because
I shouldn't say I have no interest.
It seems like it's got a very Strange Things vibe to it.
Sure.
And that's the only thing that has going for it for me is that it feels like it's going to be like Stranger Things.
I like the book. It's probably in my top three favorite Stephen King books. I'd have to juggle, you know, if it is my favorite, but I do like it a lot. And I'm excited. I do like that they're splitting it into the two ages. And sure. So they're going to have the kid movie and the adult movie, which is really neat. I do not like the design of Pennywise. And I know I've rehashed this before, but I hate the design of the new Pennywise. Mm-hmm. But oh well, I'll get over it. I won't, and it'll be the thing that drags it down to a B+.
Sure. The one thing I did notice about Gen Con, so they opened up Lucas... What? They end up Lucas Oil Stadium for board games, which they filled up the entire field with board games. And that seemed to alleviate all the traffic in the convention. Like, I was able to walk around on Saturday through the vendor hall without feeling angry. That's the one thing I hate about
Gen Con. What's it like to not feel angry?
My anger was not being generated by the event.
Oh, it was just radiating like background anger.
Yeah, because I always carry that with me, but more anger was not being generated by the crowd.
Logan Lucky came out. Oh, I wanted to see that
after the pop. Oh yeah. I was thinking maybe I should go see Movie Morale, but I might have to play XCOM for 24 hours.
Fair.
I'm gonna be over it. Yeah, Chris is.
I have to finish Genius and then watch Crime Scene and see how that is.
Yeah.
And I'll let you know whether it's worth watching. That's my story. Get the zappy grumbles, Andy. We're trailing. While you're doing that, I'll mention I really like the format we use at the WITC, the three-person matchups. It seemed very interesting. And it was a big hit.
Something might happen where we might steal that idea.
Illicit Illithid said background radiation, which is hilarious and well done, Illicit Illithid.
That's actually, yeah. I yeah. Zappity.
Grumble.
What is the best Disney movie? Star Wars and Marvel films don't count. I've already discussed this. I already know what my favorite Disney film is, and that is Lilo and Stitch. We should keep this quick.
Well, there's like Disney is like, there's like five variety. Different
eras. Like, I and, feel yeah. like you should be able to split gold era, silver era, modern era. Like, in the
80s and 70s, they did some weird shit for a while there.
Yeah. Like, I mean, Black Hole.
I was going to say Black Hole is one of my childhood favorites.
I think she's trying to say animated, like the, you know, like the... Is that limited? I'm going to assume she means animated.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Well, Disney... It could be any of them. It could be...
Then Snow Buddies 2.
Herbie fully loaded.
Do you know how many dogs died making that movie?
Herbie fully loaded. Puppies.
Is it Journey Home?
Pretty good.
Did you know there was someone whose job on that movie was to CGI reduce the amount of jiggle? I'm not even making that up.
For what?
Herbie fully loaded.
Oh,
there
really?
Was someone whose job was to use CGI to give reduction to size and mobility of a certain aspect of that film.
Hmm. Herbie's trunk was all over the place. Is that
Herbie's
what it was?
Trunk was all over the place. Beauty and the Beast, the animated Beauty and the Beast.
Not the live action one. I heard the live action one is really good too.
It's fine. It's not. I like the animated. It's good. It's mm-hmm. it's well done. It's worth seeing. I recommend seeing it. But I love. Classic Beauty and the Beast.
I thought you were going to do Emperor's New Groove.
I almost did, and that's why I want to split up. Like, Beauty and the Beast is my favorite of that, of the, like, Lion King, Little Mermaid, Aladdin, of that area.
The
era.
Animated. Well, I mean...
That was, like, the resurgence. That was the renaissance.
Emperor's New Groove is still part of that.
That's closer to the modern era, yeah, it is. I think. It is. That's more Lilo and Stitch.
It's definitely in a high
Lilo
time
and Stitch
frame.
Was, like, the last of the classic animated
right,
Disney
and Emperor's
films.
New Groove is in that same era, I think. I feel like there was that 90s... There's that chunk that was Lion King... Beauty and the Beast, Little Mermaid, Aladdin. That's a chunk that kind of ended.
Hunchback,
Pocahontas. Those are all part of that.
Yeah.
And then the tail end of that. And Mulan, Szechuan sauce. The tail end of that was Atlantis and Treasure Planet.
Yeah.
Right? Those were kind of the end of that. And then there was the more modern era where it included Lilo and Stitch and Emperor's New Groove and then some other. I feel like that's a separate time.
I think Lilo
and Stitch is
there's
the
not
very,
a big chronological split, but they feel like different times in the mindset of the studio. Like if you look at Pocahontas and you look at Lilo and Stitch, they're very different.
I would be willing to say it's definitely a transition film.
But well, I do know that Lilo and Stitch is the last of the traditionally drawn. Disney movies in that regard. Well,
no, but it was for like 14 years.
Oh, yeah. What did they do?
Princess and the Frog.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, they reopened it to do Princess and the Frog, and then they reclosed it. Also, even then, no, because Home on the Range,
also,
I think, was the last one, and it was flopped like nobody's business.
I guess drawn in there, too, because they also brought that back for Mulan. Or did, not Mulan,
did,
but
did
Moana.
Did they do the one with Chuck? Did they do the one with the girl?
Nope, all the tattoos on the rock is all hand-drawn.
Sure, but that's just a different. Subset.
That's a surprisingly good movie. Did they
Moana was solid as fuck.
Did they do the one with the girl with the actor that could play Chuck and the girl with long hair? And is that a Disney movie?
What?
Yeah, you're talking about Tangled?
Tangled. Is that Disney?
Yes,
Disney.
That was Disney.
I enjoyed Tangled a lot.
The thing is, even like the ones that people... Like Treasure Planet's a good movie. Atlantis is a good movie. Like they're a solid series of movies.
I've never seen them,
and that's the issue. Is people are like Treasure Planet? It's like, did you see it? Nah, I didn't bother because it's dumb. You didn't see it.
Yeah.
Although I will hypocritically blindly assume that Home on the Range is a shit movie because it's Roseanne Barr as a cow rescuing the Wild Wild West, and I just don't want that in my life.
It's a fair counterpoint.
Sword in the Stone. I mean, all the classic. Fuck. It's just hard. It's hard.
It's hard to choose a Disney film.
I am staying with Herbie Fully Loaded.
I'll go with Black Cauldron and fuck all of y'all.
I mean, you don't...
The Horned King is terrifying.
Sword in the Stone is not really that great of a film either. That's kind of... No, I mean, like actual horror.
Horror?
The villain in there is pretty awesome, if I remember correctly.
Well, which villain? I mean, you got the duel with...
I'm thinking of something else.
Morgana... Or whatever, yeah, whichever name she had.
I thought there was a
one.
Big demon guy in Sword in the Stone.
That's Lion King.
Or Fantasia.
No, I'm not thinking of Fantasia.
Hercules.
Hercules.
I will go with the Nutty Professor. the Eddie Murphy remake.
We kept this short. You know what is another one? I really like Meet the Robinsons. Fuck the haters of that.
Yeah. Bolt is pretty good.
Bolt is pretty good, too.
Yeah.
I had a fart so bad.
There's
I
like
had
a million people over there, and I have these little arms. Good old Meet the Robinsons.
I was quoting the Nutty Professor where Grandma had a fart so bad I had a chain hanging from it.
I don't know what that even means.
I don't know what that means, but I...
Maybe, like, because it was bad, so it got arrested and is on the chain gang. Like, it's a prison escapee. She means...
Quite possibly.
Like, it's not a necklace chain. It's like it's like a monster in chains.
She just says it just had a chain hanging from it. I don't get it either, but I'm...
Zappity.
Grumble. And who is the best weird superhero?
Freakazoid.
And that was the two examples he gave, is Tick or Freakazoid.
The new Tick show is enjoyable. That's my...
Every Tick show is enjoyable.
Yeah, it's only 6 episodes, which is his only flaw.
I need to watch that.
I mean, it's 6 episodes. You got to go tomorrow.
I liked Megaton Man, which a lot of people probably don't know who he is, but he is a character from Kitchen Sink Press, which is a Wisconsin-based comic book. Megaton Man. Look him up. He's entertaining.
It's less wacky, but I always liked Scud, the Disposable Assassin.
Scud's great. That's I have a lot of those. That's another Wisconsin-based one.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even realize that was Wisconsin-based.
He went to our high school.
That's cool.
But yeah. He'll tell you he's from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, if you ever ask him.
Or he's just rounding to the nearest big city.
Yeah.
Or he might not even mention Wisconsin anymore. He'll probably mention some other place.
He wrote that one movie with a house that was haunted.
Monster House.
Which is...
And he's writing something big that's coming out soon. He got the...
He got Lego Movie 2.
Yeah.
It's being done by Rob Schraub.
Yep. Also, Gornis 78 asked if any of us saw Atomic Blonde yet. Have you guys seen it yet?
Yeah.
Did you see it yet?
Nope.
It's one of my favorite James Bond films, and I'm a huge fan of the James Bond films, and it's blatantly a James Bond film.
It is. Yeah, that's
and
what I heard.
If you like James Bond, and you like Charlize Theron, and you like the 80s, you should watch Atomic Blonde.
You should.
I didn't check the tweets, but that was the weird superhero. So we basically all said basically the Tick, Freakazoid, and I said Megaton Man.
Sure.
Yeah. Nobody knows who Megaton Man is, but you should check him out. I based one of my early comic book characters when I was drawing on Megaton Man.
Major Tusk.
No, Major Tusk
Mr.
is the villain.
Bowling Hands guy.
That's the Bowling Ball Marauder.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, the main character is Body Man. Basically, Megaton Man is a very, very...
He's angry.
Similar to
Mr. Furious. The Tick. So he's like the flaming carrot.
He's invulnerable, but he's also very strong.
The Tick is nigh invulnerable.
Yeah. I understand
that. As a younger child, that's why I learned the word nigh.
I enjoyed, probably my favorite moments ever in that comic book is with Mr. Oppenheimer.
Which comic book? Megaton or The Tick?
The Tick.
Okay.
With Clark Oppenheimer.
Sure.
The Tick had applied for the same job that Clark Oppenheimer was as a reporter at a news place. And they were both typing on their typewriters, and Clark Oppenheimer, being Superman or whoever the character's name was, was just typing really fast. And the Tick is just like looking over there, and he's also wearing his actual outfit, and he's just watching him, and he's like,
click.
Quick.
I like when the Tick gets the rights to all the Tick stuff from the Tick.
I don't remember that.
When he moves to the city, there's already a superhero there operating under the name The Tick.
Sure.
And it's like a Batman-style, like, super rich guy with all these gadgets and everything.
Is this from the comics?
This is from the comics. Okay. And there was an episode of the cartoon that had this other Tick as well, but he just kind of showed up and they fought and whatever. But his real name was Barry. But anyway, so they have a duel, and the guy's just a dickhole. Nobody likes him. But they have a duel, and the Tick wins, of course. And so he gets the legal rights to everything Tick franchise based.
Sure.
And so Barry's not allowed to use it anymore, but it's still his house. So he still like lives in the house while Tick and Arthur are using the Tick cave underneath and driving the Tick mobile, and they got grappling hooks. And Barry's not allowed to wear his Tick suit anymore, so he just wanders the mansion naked, which is most unsettling for the Tick and Arthur. Good stuff. Good comic.
Ninjas everywhere as well. I remember ninjas dressing up as a bush outside surrounding one of the Tick's houses.
Yeah. Everything the Tick is good.
Yep.
All the comics, all the cartoon, all the both live action series. I recommend everything the Tick related.
Yep. And that's it. There's no more Zappity Grumbles.
Oh. That's everything, people.
I have nothing.
How's your raid going, Brian?
For a rec, I misclicked and lost.
Exciting.
Yeah. It's true, though.
That's a heck of a misclick.
It is. It's a very, I was.
You can't, like, respawn and still be part of the win?
Not with my good team.
Don't know how I can.
I didn't touch anything.
I need like to electrify.
Handcuff him to the chair.
No, because then all we'll hear is just a ching, 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 and trying to get out.
Zip ties?
Okay. All we'll end up having is a bloody stump smacking into the microphone.
That's like lapel mics.
He'll
just slap it constantly.
Yeah, I don't know what to do to get Brian to. If anybody has any idea on what I could do Brian from touching,
bring me back that stuffed animal.
The mic stand.
Okay, I'll win more disposable stuffed animals from claw machines that are less awesome than Stay Puft Domo. I think fine. I got like a random bear. I'll give you the random bear.
Yeah.
And you can just rip its face off.
Yeah. It's fun. You guys have any recommendations?
You're talking already.
All right. I am going to.
What?
I didn't do anything. I didn't happen. I am going to recommend the expansions for Terraforming Mars. The added maps it's a great game already, and the added maps change the milestone awards and the. They change milestones and the awards, which is all your end condition points. And it makes the map, the layout of the lakes and the oceans and where bonuses come from are all different. But
yeah, you can play with that one.
Do not. You just gave it to me and took it away 3 seconds later.
It's weird to me because
30 seconds later.
He said three seconds. Like to me, Terraforming Mars feels like Race for the Galaxy with a board. Like, the card-building combo mechanics just really feel... And so it's weird to me how much more you like Terraforming Mars than Race for the Galaxy.
And the only reason you say that is because of something awful. Like, you wouldn't have that opinion unless something... Because you only had that opinion after something awful was complaining about that, so you're trying to rally me up. It's different because
They raised a decent point, and I thought about it, and I can see that point.
They both are heavy end cards, that is true. But one of them, you're putting a bunch of stuff onto the map. Like, where you... The placement of items, whether it's oceans, cities, or forests, or all these special tiles are very critical. And you can't just win the game with cards. I mean, it's the map is very important to the game.
Sure. So you feel that the map itself is an inherent player conflict location?
Yeah.
And that's what makes the difference?
Because a lot of times, based on where forests are and oceans are, you want to put tiles in certain parts. And the new maps... One of the awards and conditions is have the most tiles in certain sectors.
Sure.
So you can potentially gain points controlling certain parts of the map. Like one of the win condition awards can be whoever has the most tiles next to oceans is a big deal. And if you put tiles on the board, it's a big deal because sometimes you put a tile down, you generate free money if it's next to oceans, or you generate resources, or you affect various things. So the map is a critical part of it, in my opinion.
It's fair. I'm not saying it's not a
critical part. And I like area control games in general, and you can really control... I mean, there are games I've played and done good where the games where I've not done much on Mars are the games I've lost. So if you ignore that element... Because your cards are all about building an engine so you can terraform the planet. Because even if you're only raising the temperature or the heat and you're not touching the board, you're still affecting the planet and you still are, you know, getting those points. So everything in the card generation affects the actual score of the affects the planet, which affects how you win the game. But the expansion, so both maps are different. One's the other side of Mars, and one's is kind of the southern region of Mars. So where everything, and they try to be fairly accurate in the name of where things are, so it's, you know, somewhat correct as far as the layout of Mars. There's expansion that comes out in October, November that's going to add It's some Venus stuff. You don't actually terraform Venus. You just kind of, it's like, because Venus is a much more complicated place to you. It's like you are in the outer atmosphere of Venus. So you're like propping it. You're not, you're just like propping Venus is what that is.
Sure.
It's just another aspect of terraform Mars. But the map, the different maps is very refreshing because I mean, I would still play the core map unlimited more times. But the fact that there's a different maps lets you change up the game a little bit. It makes you like have, because on one map, an award is like having the most scientific tags, and another map that's not on there at all. So, and one map is having the most resources and cards. If you have cards that have like animals or pets or microbes, and you know, you want to focus on that. And one card is more about having cards that have requirements on them and things like that. And a lot of it's like have this on the map or this here or whatnot.
So it's just, it's basically Race for the Galaxy.
It's basically Race for the Galaxy, except good. When I had someone explain Race for the Galaxy, we played it, and it was just like, it was like these cards made no sense.
I know. I'm just, although I've heard that that's the good thing about doing the digital version is that like you can play it in a tenth the time.
Well, yeah,
and so then you just, yeah,
but whatever. any game is, I mean any game is like that. I mean, Terraforming Mars will have an app next year as well, and I'm excited to play that. It's got a fun solo mode to it that I would probably play a lot on the app. Because you have like 14 turns to terraform the planet, and then you save your high scores and see how well you can terraform the planet and score. It's kind of the gimmick there. But yeah, that's my recommendation. The maps for the expansion maps for Terraforming Mars.
Sounds like it just basically makes it almost a brand new game in a sense.
Well, it makes the, well, the planet's completely different. It's a completely different planet or a different front of the planet, so it just changes a lot of the strategy. And they really move out. It's pretty ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Steam keeps on sending me messages saying that my game that is on my wish list is on sale.
Yeah.
But it's the game that's on my wish list right now currently is Total Warhammer.
Yeah.
Which the new Total Warhammer comes out in like 2 weeks.
Well, you're so take it off your wish list.
But yeah, the thing is...
That's what I did with Civ 6. It kept telling me Civ 6 was on sale. I'm like, I literally can't play Civ 6. That's why I bought it and then returned it. So I should probably take it off my wish list.
But the thing about Total War is when you buy Total Warhammer 2... the way you can play is you can just play the new world, but you can also combine the maps. If you don't own the old map, you still can't play with everything. So you still, they're going to be there because there's going to be three total games for the Total War series, which is pretty awesome. Anyway, that's all I have on that.
I recommend mead.
God damn it.
It was delicious because like I don't like hoppy beers.
Sure.
And so mead was, it was very sweet and light and it, it's not carbonated, so it's almost like kind of a wine, but more of a beer consistency as far as being lightweight as opposed to being heavy like wine tends to be. It's delicious, and it deserves to be on tap at every bar. I should be able to go into any bar and say I would like some mead, please.
Oh, I have to tell them I'm getting Android before I can give you a code.
Okay.
I forgot.
Is it a mead
to respond
sandwich?
To it.
Okay.
Yeah. Mead is good.
Meat is good. I recommend it.
I like bacon.
I might make some, and so if I go to War Machine Weekend, I can bring some. And
are you going to War Machine Weekend?
I said if I go to War Machine
Weekend.
You should
go to War Machine Weekend. Hang out with me in the painting lounge.
Okay, well, maybe.
Yeah.
I'll let you know if I'm going, and then you can drive me there. And then I can sleep on the floor of your hotel room.
Probably what I would have expected.
Yay! He agreed to it.
I
would just be bringing my clothes on my back, some mead, and Mega Civilization.
Here's the problem with Nathan. You're the kind of person who, when you share a room, if we give you a little sliver of room, you get offended when he wants you to pay an equal share.
What? I've never been that person. I have always paid my share of a room. Are you, like, mixing up me and Andy or something?
I don't know. Andy always gets a corner of a room. That's Andy's thing. One place, someone said you complained because you only got a sliver of a room and you didn't think you should pay your share.
You are definitely thinking of somebody else.
Probably. But I like to blame you.
Wow, under the bus Nathan goes for no apparent reason.
There's a lot of shit wrong with me, but paying my fair share of a hotel room is not one of them.
No, you pay your fair share. You just feel your fair share is down what they think your fair share is.
No.
You're willing to give them what you think is your fair share, which is just different than their fair share number.
I don't think that's Nathan. I definitely feel that somebody else. God damn it.
When I share a room, I always make sure that I get part of a bed. Like, yeah. I never floor sleep. I always get part of a bed, and then I pay, divide the number of people in the room, and I'll pay that. Because the closest I got to a problem was, like, three or four Adepticons ago.
Yeah.
The ATM machine in the hotel was broken, so I literally couldn't pay the guy because I couldn't get cash. But then I paid him when we got to Madison.
And then he changed the story, told me the other version of the story. Actually, I don't know if it was you at all. Now I think about it. It could have been someone else.
So suddenly now Nathan's, all of his plans for conventions have fallen apart because
I've heard that Nathan won't pay his fair fare.
I mean, it's only a rumor that I've heard from people, and it might have been about someone else. With an N in their name. But we'll just assume it's this guy. He's a slacker. You're welcome, Nathan.
Fair.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so Brian recommends not sharing a room with me because he heard one time that
one time.
Am...
You paid our fair share the one time we shared a room.
Yeah.
And you didn't die.
Yeah, and you tried to kill me.
I did try to kill you.
Was that Christ. The War Machine?
Brian sweated the plague all over my half of the bed.
Oh God, it was so sick.
Didn't you slept in the other side of the bed?
I got to the room. I'm like, this is my side of the bed, and he's like, ugh. So then I leave and I come back, and it turns out that he had slept on that side of the bed because his response was Brian sick talk for. Actually, I would prefer to sleep on that side of the bed, and I'm going to take your non-response as a sign that you agree, and we'll sleep on the other side of the bed instead. But it came out as, ugh. So he slept on that half of the bed, infested it with 12 different plagues, and then left. I came and slept in that petri dish of death, and I got sick, surprise, surprise.
I never sweated so much sleeping in my life than I... You take my entire life of sweating at night, it doesn't equal that... few hours of sleep. I woke up drenched, and I remember leaving, coming back like an hour later for something, and you were like asleep in that side of the bed. I was like, how did he fall asleep in the water? Like, it was just it was like you worked at like a night day. You were just exhausted.
I slept 3 total hours at Adepticon,
and it was in
the I worked was it 23 hours. It was Adepticon.
Yeah, it was Adepticon.
Okay. It was the last one that I worked my fucking balls off. I worked like literally 23 hours a day. It was nothing but work, and so I was exhausted. So I just stumbled in the bed, and I was like, this feels wet. Like, it was, the bed was surprisingly clammy, but I was already asleep by then.
I don't know if I would have probably slept on the floor.
Gornis in 78 asked me if I would like a bottle of homemade mead, and the answer to would you like a bottle of homemade alcohol is always yes. I would love a bottle of homemade mead.
I would like it to put in this. We had some mead yesterday that we got to put in this in the concert.
And I still fucking paid you. If I was ever not going to pay for a room, that was the time, because I should have taken my share out of my hospital bills.
Hey,
you went to the hospital?
As far as you know.
Jesus.
I heard you didn't pay them their fair share of the room.
Yeah, that's true, because they put me on the floor in the ER.
The floor is not an acceptable.
I'm not paying my share. You get $20, no more.
I don't really have anything to recommend other than I really want to play Sundered. That's for the PS4. It's a hand-drawn version. I know what I could recommend.
Yeah.
Destiny 2?
No. He's 20XX. Not a man. 20XX, sure. But it's PC right now, right? It's not. Is it on PS4 yet?
I think it's on for the PS4 soon.
Okay.
But 20XX is a Mega Man X game that creates, or that's... What's the word, Nathan? Help me.
Procedurally generated
game and you have only one life to make it through the game.
Roguelike?
Very, very roguelike, but it's Mega Man roguelike. You gain power-ups, you gain money, you can use that money to power up your character for future adventures after you die. But all the levels are different. It's basically what everybody is saying that Mega Man should have been, or Mighty Number 9 should have been. It's a seemingly really neat looking game. Are you looking to see if it's on the PS4?
No.
Or are you just messaging random people?
I'm texting my brother. He sent me a picture of him after he spilled paint on the floor, and he looks like a serial killer. And then there's a picture of a cat sitting on his wife's throat. It's just, he just sent me random pictures for some reason.
Okay.
I was trying to decipher what was going on there.
Fair.
All right, so...
Doesn't he look like he's standing over a victim in this picture? What I'm saying is if you replace that brush with a knife and then make that white paint red, it does look like he just stabbed a hobo to death.
It could have been a foreigner that's clear their blood.
That is true. Chinamen have white blood, I heard.
Jesus.
Did you not hear that? Are you not on the stormfront.org newsletter?
How are you still on it? The site's been down for...
That's why the newsletter now.
Oh, like, okay.
It's the paper one, but they still put .org on there because they're idiotic, racist piles of shit.
I get faxes from them all the time.
All right, we're done.
I don't know where this is going, but probably no, we're good.
There's a facts pun in there somewhere about how it's just the facts and facts, but fuck them.
All right, we're done. Thanks, guys, for watching. Thank you, Patreons, for supporting this crap.
See you in episode 212. That's next episode. It'll be a palindrome.
211.
This was 211. 210 was the first 5 minutes of this. We discussed this at the end of episode 210.
Are we going to... Should I do it?
We can do whatever the fuck we want. It's our podcast.
Oh. I didn't change the number on the top, though. That's still the same.
You've forgotten to change that before.
I have, but I have... all right. Credits rolling now. Thanks, guys.